The next item on the agenda, Mr. and Mrs. Bill Brubaker, 09-0398.
Thank you.
If anybody needs a pointer, I have one. What'd you do, George? Draw the short straw this time?
Yes, sir, unfortunately. Mr. and Mrs. Brubaker are requesting authorization to install a two-point private mooring system centered, I'm not going to get into latitudes, north of their existing Mariners Point Homeowners Association pier, approximately 100 feet channelward of the villas at Wilton Creek in Middlesex County. The project is protested by several residents along the creek as well as several owners associations within the coves at Wilton Creek development. This is project location in the red circle. Pyankatank River out here, Pyankatank River Bridge, Route 3 Bridge. This is Wilton Creek. It's a 2007 aerial photograph. The red circle depicts the location of the proposed mooring. This is the Mariners Point condominiums. This is the entire Wilton Creek development here. Brubakers currently have a slip that's located right here at the end of this pier. Brubakers own a unit in the Mariners Point Villas within the coves at Wilton Creek development located along Wilton Creek. That's in Middlesex County. They also own the right to use an assigned slip at the Mariners Point Community Pier located in the waters adjacent to the development. The assigned slip is located at the downstream end of the community pier and measures approximately 14 feet wide by 40 feet long. This is a larger view of that same aerial photograph. Proposed mooring is situated here. The Brubakers own a 49-foot long trawler with a stated beam of 15 feet 9 inches and a draft of approximately 4 feet 6 inches. As such, obviously the Brubaker's vessel will not fit in their assigned 14-foot wide slip. The proposed mooring system is designed to enable them to moor their vessel in the waters near their villa. The ground shot of the Mariners Point Pier, the Brubaker's slip is located down here at the end. This is the other side of the pier, and the mooring would be situated out here in this area. This is the plan view drawing with the coordinates and showing the two-point mooring system. This is a cross-sectional drawing. The mooring system utilizes two helical screw anchors, an associated mooring tackle, and two standard mooring balls. The vessel is designed to be moored between the two mooring balls with one attached to the bow and one to the stern. This system would reduce the footprint of the mooring by eliminating the 360-degree swing radius associated with a single point mooring. It also allows the vessel to be located closer to shore. The proposed mooring is sited approximately 100 feet channelward of the shoreline in waters with a depth of approximately minus 7 feet at mean low water. This is a depiction of the mooring that was provided with the application. And a ground shot of the pier and the Brubaker's existing slip right here. Project is protested by several residents along Wilton Creek, as well as the Wilton Creek Owners Association. That association represents owners on the other side of the creek, I believe. The Mariners Point Unit Owners Association, the Coves at Wilton Creek Owners Association, the Villas at Wilton Creek Unit Owners Association. Their concerns include adverse impacts on navigation, adverse impacts on the riparian rights associated with the development, the possible violation of an agreement which was reached concerning the maximum number of slips that would be allowed associated with development. That was an association, that was an agreement that was reached between the original developer and the folks that lived on the other side of the creek. Also, they had a safety concern should the boat break loose from its mooring, and a possible establishment of a precedent from other moorings within the creek. And they also had a concern with the adverse impact on the creek's historic ability to serve as a hurricane hole. A lot of boats will come in here when storms are coming. It's a deep water, naturally deep water creek, and it's narrow and pretty well protected. The closer view of the Brubaker's assigned slip, it's approximately 14 feet wide, 40 feet long. I believe the other side of this pier is used for sewage pump out at the pier. This is the area where the mooring is proposed. By letter dated June 9th, 2009, Coast Guard stated they had no objection to the project, but added that the Brubakers would need to submit a private aids to navigation application, and that the vessel is required to be marked in accordance with Coast Guard regulations when utilizing the mooring. The Health Department states that the project is in compliance with their sanitary regulations for boat moorings. No other state agencies commented on the project. Project will not encroach on any public or privately leased oyster planting ground. We do not believe the proposed mooring will have a significant impact on navigation. Additional moorings in the vicinity, however, could affect navigation. A single mooring at the proposed location would probably have only minimal adverse impacts on navigation and the aesthetic concerns expressed by the nearby property owners. We believe, however, that many of the other concerns expressed by the opposition are warranted. It's also important to note that the adjacent shoreline is owned by the association, and the mooring could adversely affect the riparian rights associated with the association property. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition, and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205 of the Code, we are compelled to recommend denial of the project as proposed. Although to date the association has been reluctant to do so, we would be willing to entertain an application from the association to modify the slip assigned to the Brubakers such that it would better accommodate their vessel. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Chip? Thank you, Chip.
Mm-hmm.
Is the applicant present or represented? Yes, ma'am. You state your name, please.
Sandra Brubaker.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please proceed.
I just want to say first that our boat is not 15-9, it's 14-9 beam. So our slip that we have right now is was stated when we purchased it at 16 feet wide and 40 feet deep or long. It is not. It's 14-9. We asked at the time when we purchased it if we could move the piling that at the end where the 14-9 is. I'm sorry. At the deck, it's 16 feet wide.
Yes, ma'am.
But the outermost piling is not in line. It's
skewed
in. So that's 14-9. We asked the dock committee if we could move that piling to make it 16 feet wide. They said no.
They give you a reason why?
Pardon me?
Were you going to undertake all the necessary costs to modify?
Yes, costs and everything. And they said that if they did that for us, then other owners could come in and ask for equality.
Well, yeah, they could if they're going to undertake the cost. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Proceed.
So that was when we first bought the slip. And at the time, we did not have our 49-foot program. We had a 44-foot carver. With a beam of 13.
13.
Mm-hmm. So in November of 2008, hoping in the intervening years that the opinion of the dock committee changed, we scheduled a meeting with Mr. Nykerk to discuss a smaller adjustment to our slip. We wanted to widen the whole slip in the beginning at our cost. So we then talked to Mr. Nykerk about adjusting it, maybe just moving pilings out. And we, Mr. Nykerk agreed that that could happen. So we again petitioned the dock committee, and again they said no. At our full cost, total expense, they said no. At that time, We suggested an alternative whereby we would place our slip under full lock and chain control of the dock committee and use the transient slip, which we sometimes have people at the other end of the dock use as our slip. And then the transient slip would be our number 20 slip. Again, they said no. They didn't want us to do that either. They said our boat was just too big for the dock. Even though there is another Krogan trawler currently berthed there, that's a full displacement trawler that's heavier than ours and barely fits in the slip. The dock committee said they had not used any marine engineering standards to determine if our boat was too big. They did not consult the dock builder if the piling diameters or depth would have been any different for a boat my size. Rather, they just used their boating experience to deny us. A mooring is our least way of doing things, but we would like to keep our boat where we live. So that's why we pursued the mooring.
Thank you. Any questions of Ms. Brubaker?
Mr.
Robbins?
And this may be a better question for staff, but are you familiar with when the pier was originally permitted, what the distance was between the pilings on the permit drawing?
Well, when the pier was originally permitted, they had permit for 20, but only 19 slips were built at that time. The owner of our unit chose not to have a slip. So I believe when the Hurricane Isabel, I think, came through, it damaged the dock. And at that time, they rebuilt it and built a slip 20. When we purchased our condo, it was not part of that purchase. We had to buy the slip separately from the homeowners association.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms. Brubaker. Anyone else in support of this project? Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? Come forward, sir. Are you a member of the association, or are you an attorney?
I am not an attorney. My name is George Burke, and I'm the president of the Mariners Point Unit Owners Association.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, sir.
Proceed, please, sir.
Our Owners Association believes that this proposed project negatively impacts the community in four ways. The first is the category of aesthetics that Mr. Nykerk has referred to. You can see from the diagram on the wall that the three northernmost units containing 12 families overlooks the cove-like area, which will be essentially blocked and obstructed by the position of this vessel in a double mooring configuration. That cove-like area, due to the canopy above those buildings, is essentially the window that those people have on the creek. They did not purchase the property as waterfront property to have their window to the creek obstructed by a very close-in vessel placed there by an individual that does not personally own any of that land or any land on Wilton Creek. The second reason for concern is that of access. It's going to be necessary to put mooring balls in this double mooring configuration virtually out to the shoal lines on both sides, as outlined by a diagram that I think each of you received. This is not to scale, but it is an approximation, and you can see that those mooring balls approach the shoals on either side. That obstructs the navigable water within that small cove and prevents folks from bringing in their motor craft to use that area in any way, including the other members of the Mariners Point Unit Owners Association. And that shoreline has been used by small motor craft from the Unit Owners Association. But more importantly is the access to the transient slip. You can see that with, first of all, let me say that north of Up Creek, north of the proposed project, is the longest fetch that we have on the creek. That is a northeast fetch. And while it is true that Wilton Creek is known as a hurricane hole, It's also known as an unpleasant place to be when a nor'easter blows, at least where we are on that creek. It's a long fetch in there, and we get plenty of weather rolling down there. Even with a northeast breeze, it can be a bear for some boats to dock at our docks. And when transients come in with catamarans, they need to have some room to swing in that area to bring that boat to berth at the transient tee, which I will, if you will allow me to, I will point to where it is on this overhead. This is the transient tee right here. This past season, we had 13 visitors staying an average of 3 to 7 days. They were from all up and down the East Coast. They came into our community, they made purchases in our community, and they spent time. Many of them were friends or guests of members of Mariners Point Unit Owners Association. We believe that this project negatively impacts the access of transient visitors invited by the other members of Mariners Point Unit Owners Association. As Mr. Nykerk mentioned, safety is also another concern. The northeast fetch creates a lot of weather during the unnamed storms. We think putting a vessel of that size in that position north of those docks is a little bit like putting a circus wagon at the top of a hill and waiting to see what its effect on a group of baby carriages is when the first big wind comes along. So we have real concerns about that. And the sailors who berth their boats in there are pretty experienced people, and I don't think any one of them feels comfortable with the idea of having a vessel of that size sitting northeast of them. The fourth concern has also been alluded to, and that is that we are bound by an agreement that limits us to 20 permanent slips. And we believe that any unit owner of Mariners Point Unit Owners Association is bound by the covenants and restrictions of the Unit Owners Association. We do not see how it is appropriate for a de facto 21st permanent slip to be created by this plan. Furthermore, it's two mooring balls. What happens to those mooring balls when the boat's not there? Do we have two other boats come in and take the mooring balls? What happens if the owner of the two mooring balls decides that he wants to rent his slip and both mooring balls? Do we now have three rental berths within the creek that were not to have existed prior to that? Those are all questions that we can't answer. We can't police that, and we don't know what recourse we have if those kinds of things happen in the future. I would be happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
Questions of the gentleman? Mr. Taggart?
Given the four points that you mentioned, the aesthetics, the access, safety, and the 20-slip restriction, why aren't you considering the fact of just changing, in a slight way, it seems to me, the configuration to allow this boat to, in fact, anchor at your at your docks?
Well, first of all, anything that I say is going to be a little bit in the way of opinion rather than... I have never sat on the dock committee. I have sat on the board, so I have heard arguments from the dock committee. I have not heard all of the arguments because some of them preceded my time at Mariner's Point. But I think a couple of issues that I have heard about are that, first of all, that changing the position of the piling doesn't change the fact that the boat sticks out well beyond where the pilings currently are. And that we cannot move those pilings further out because we are told that that begins to impinge upon the navigable channel of this relatively small creek. That's the most important thing. The second thing, the idea of changing slips and trading out with the pump out station T, which would put that boat downwind from the northeast fetch and seemed like a relatively potentially safe alternative. We are told by the federal government that under no circumstances can we tamper with or change that pump out station, which we operate in agreement with and support of a federal program.
Which federal program is that, and what federal agency told you that?
Maybe federal is wrong, but what is that program that I told you I wouldn't have my
Virginia Department of Health and the Harbor and the Marine. Chip, can you help me with that?
I'm not certain what that might be.
I didn't know the federal government intervened or had anything to do with.
Well, I might be wrong about that, and that's the reason why I told you that I might not have my facts right. But I know that we're participating in a program where half of the costs are borne by, and most of the cost of the hardware are borne by an agency, whether it's a state agency or a federal agency. I'm not really part of that plan.
I believe there are funds that have passed through the Fish and Wildlife Service to state agencies to allow for the establishment.
Right, right. And I think it is a federal program, but it goes through the state. I'm sorry, I can't tell you the name of it, but I didn't. That essentially negated that plan, and we did not want our transient slip taken away for the reasons that I have already outlined.
Further questions?
I have one.
Dr. McConaughey?
Ms. Brubaker indicated that there is a boat of similar size or larger currently docked there.
I don't know the displacement weight of either of the boats. There is another trawler docked there. Yes, sir.
Further questions?
By the way, I would say parenthetically to that that we have concerns about that boat also, but we are not permitted to prevent an owner from putting a boat in a slip that they have rights to, even if the boat only has 6 inches on either side of it. We cannot answer for people's seamanship. We can only watch with concern and attempt to guard our own boats when problems come up. But I will say that the owner of that boat is having some second thoughts about his location in that dock since he has seen what happened with the nor'easter that occurred last month.
Mr. Fox.
Chairman, it just would have appear to me that it's out of our jurisdiction, but according to Ms. Brubaker, the slip they got was not the dimensions of the slip they thought they were getting when they made the purchase. That's not within our jurisdiction, but I would hope that the association might think about that a little bit.
Thank you for the comment. Further comments, questions? Well, having either sat in court or sat on this commission for a number of years, this case gives me a bad taste in my mouth. I'll be quite frank with you. I just, at times, don't quite understand a situation where an applicant who's a resident, who's just as much a resident as anyone else in this community, wants to make use of a slip and wants to basically take their own dollars, modify it at the end, because if it was one in the middle or something like that, and that was their slip that would cause problems to everyone else involved, I'd say you don't have a case whatsoever. There's no reason you can't do it. But on the very end, when they're willing to undertake, and I would presume they're willing to undertake the engineering studies, the pump-out station, I don't know who told you what, but it's a matter of simple plumbing that basically you submit an application for modification to that. Because what happened in the northeastern Isabel? Did Isabel destroy the pump-out station at that time?
I should be try to give you some more details about the issue of the pump-out station. Let me show you the area just south of the station.
You can't tell here, but it shoals up right in here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fairly narrow area right here that boats can come in. when we submitted the possibility of trading out those two, the concern was that pump outs would be limited by the median pier of this slip. And the I wasn't the person communicating with the agency. We were told by the agency that that was important.
Okay.
If we try to extend this out and widen this, it then puts the pump out for into shoulder.
Okay.
So we're darned if we do and darned if we don't.
And so
it's
and
not
so
a deliberate attempt to obstruct a solution to this problem.
Mr. Schick?
It seems to me that if the base of that slip is 16 foot wide at the dock, that it wouldn't affect the pump out station to pull and redrive the mooring pilings to make the rest of the slip 16 foot wide. Now, whether the boat is too big for the slip or not, that's a different question. That's something a structural engineer would have to answer. But
you know what?
But unfortunately, that's not something that we're here to discuss. I wish something like that could be just talked about.
We're not. The bottom line is, and I've probably created a diversion by making these comments, because the application before us is two mooring buoys. It just bothers me. And I'm the quintessential optimist. We're neighbors and everybody get along. There's always a solution, and I like to find common ground so that everybody's happy. But certain other individuals that came on this earth couldn't do that either. So anyway, having said that, I just wish there was a solution, and I wish there was openness toward, instead of everything of what can't be done, I like to hear what can be done, and I don't hear it here. But the bottom line is, the application before us is for the two mooring buoys and the matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Chairman, I was going to ask if the applicant was going to be afforded an opportunity to rebut any of the comments.
Sure. Which if you'd like. Yes, ma'am.
Well, there are other people in opposition.
Oh, in opposition as well? I'm sorry. You know what? I made a presumption.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Who else is in opposition? Yes, sir.
I'm William R. Kurtz.
You saw me swear. How many people are going to testify in opposition? You stand? Please stand. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, say up to God.
I do.
Okay, proceed, Mr. Kurtz.
My name is William R. Kurtz. I live at 1460 Wilton Creek Road. By way of disclosure,
Where would that be along?
We're on the other side of the creek and just north of this.
Okay, thank you.
By way of disclosure, I'm an attorney with Dr. Simmons and Dr. Whitestone. I'm not here today representing anyone in a legal matter.
Yes, sir.
Here as a neighbor and also as the president of the Wilton Creek Improvement Association, which is the homeowners association across the creek. We have on Glebe Neck, it's a peninsula about 2 miles long. We have 51 lots, and of those, about 25 have frontage on Wilton Creek. Our directors have met and considered this several times. We remain unanimously opposed to putting mooring balls in Wilton Creek. One of the main reasons is that we believe that the line has got to be drawn somewhere, and we believe that it already has been drawn at the number of slips, and that this is in essence an expansion of a facility which is already built out to the max. And it, I don't know how long you'll have been on the commission, but this the controversy surrounding the density of boats on the creek goes back to at least 1987, when the developer applied here for a 60-slip marina. He scaled it back the day of or the day before the hearing to reduce the shellfish condemnation area. The commission considered it. The commission denied the application for 49 slips, thinking that was too many. That those are 49 slips that are north of this. That's a separate marina part, still part of the coves. Rather than scaling it back, the developer took you to court. You were in the Circuit Court of Fairfax County. Eventually, he prevailed. He got his 49 slips. The next thing that he did was to set about trying to get piers to serve the inland locks that he had sold. There was more hearings before the commission, more litigation. It went at that time in the circuit court, Chesterfield County as well as Fairfax County. And eventually that litigation was settled by an agreement among Fred Fisher, who represented the commission, Jackson Simmons, a deceased partner of mine who represented my neighbors, and a Mr. Henning from Fairfax who represented the developer. And I have searched as best I can through Mr. Simmons' old files, and I have been unable to find anything in writing on that. But I can tell you that the agreement restricted the number of boats or number of berths that were going to be on Wilton Creek. And I think that's conceded now by the Homeowners Association. And it's our position that the limit has already been reached, and we shouldn't exceed it. We're also concerned because we're going to encroach on what is a traditional and a very well-used public anchorage. Wilton Creek is in the cruising guide as a hurricane hole. Whenever there's a named storm, you see boats from all over coming up into the creek. I've even seen the Coast Guard bring its own vessels from Milford Haven up into the creek because it offers a very safe harbor.
Right.
It's also a prime recreational anchorage. We've had boats, the Ocean Cruising Club has used it as a rendezvous on many occasions, boats all up and down the bay, all up and down the East Coast. Use it as a recreational anchorage. And so our position is that this facility is already built out to the maximum. To allow it to expand at this point, we think would set a terrible precedent. You'd be faced with who knows how many additional applications. And it also encroaches on what is a prime, traditional, well-used public anchorage.
Questions of the gentleman? Thank you, Counselor. Who's next? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Stan Koloff, board members. I'm a resident of Wilton Creek Road, which is situated pretty much directly across from the coast. I'm also speaking on behalf of my neighbor, Michael Kirk. Both of us submitted letters in opposition to this, right. This particular permit, which I think you may have in your record.
We do, sir. Yes, all the, for the record, all the opponents have been previously sworn. Thank you.
Right.
That's okay.
One of my biggest concerns has to do with the precedent that would be set should this mooring be allowed. I think in simple terms, from our perspective, once there's one, there will be more. And I think that the concerns of how the creek is currently used and the character and the nature of the creek would be adversely impacted in that regard. I think you recognize in looking at the picture that the Wilton Creek is a relatively narrow creek. And I think the concerns and the view on the part of the staff that navigation is not an issue here, I would beg to differ with that. Living on the creek and seeing boats come, particularly those that would come in at night, which we often have during summer weekends, I think there are situations there where we are concerned about navigation on the creek. Obviously, boats that are anchored in there on those weekends are represented part of that hazard, but I think adding to that, the potential future moorings would further raise concerns about navigation on the creek. I think the point has been made, mention of concerns on the part of the folks of the coves of the possibility of that boat breaking loose, and I'll make a comment, my own personal observation, during the November nor'easter, saw 45-mile-an-hour winds streaming down the creek there. Four or five boats that were in the slips there were easily heeled at 10 to 15 degrees. So there are strong winds that do prevail. That, in that case, that for several days that those winds were impacting that part of the marina and certainly that anchorage as well. I would also like to make some comments with respect to the pump-out station. And I cannot speak specifically about represent the coves in this regard too, but some of my understanding from discussions with folks there and some of their concerns and perhaps reasons for their denial of the request there was that the disruption it would make to the pump-out station itself. that may be a matter of simple matter of plumbing and so forth, but I think that was one of their concerns. The depths associated right adjacent to the pump out station there are fairly shallow. So when you do move in there to get pumped out, you have to be very careful. That you certainly can't just pull out to the left, you will quickly run aground. So you've got to pull in and then and back out very carefully. So it does pose some restrictions ease of access to the pump out station itself. A large boat extending out would, I think, further make further difficulties and access to the pump out station. So I would also, if I could, just to show you the concern that we, the residents there on both sides of the creek, have. Is for, if I could ask for a show of hands of all those residents who have come here today to...
Sure.
Do I have a show of hands? So these are folks here that represent the same kind of concerns that you've seen expressed here today. That's all I comment.
Any questions of the gentleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tankard?
I just had one question. Would you rather see the Brubaker's boat at the dock, or would you rather see the mooring buoys?
Well, I'll put it this way. I see there are many other options for Mr. Brubaker to undertake. There are several nearby marinas within 10 minutes that could provide access and where he could use his boat quite freely. And I think that was also one option that they can consider. And I guess I wouldn't comment on that. That's really a decision of the code. But I do recognize that there are other options that are readily available that would provide them easy access to their boat at a nearby marina.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Who's next? Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Yes, sir.
My name is James Knopp. I'm a president of the Coves of Wilton Creek Owners Association. My predecessor, Carl Johnson, has written two or three letters to your organization expressing our concern about this application. For your information, the Coves is made up of approximately 42 occupied homes, and we manage the common areas for the villas as well as Mariner's Point. So we are sisters in the bond, if you will, in that respect. And we also have a very close association with the peaceful people across the creek. It is our intent, and because of its value for kayaking, for fishing, and for all the water access and the views that it provides, that the Wilton Creek be maintained in such a way that it continues to support the property values of the community.
Yes, sir.
We do not feel that this particular application, or having a boat of that size in that area, whether it be at a dock or whether it be in a moorage or a dual moorage of any sort, enhances the value or enhances the access. We feel that it could potentially damage, as been pointed out with the various storms, et cetera. If that boat were to break loose, it could do damage to other property along the creek. We think it's important that your organization take note of the numbers of the people who are interested in resolving this issue. It puzzles me as to some extent how people can purchase an item and then purchase another item that doesn't fit. It seems to me that we need not be in a position to try to solve their problem. Our problem, our issue is that we've invested significant amounts of money in our properties and want to maintain the views and the safety of those properties. This boat probably, as been suggested, would be better off in another location. And there are many, or several, not many, but several, that are not that far away. Our board has voted for the denial of this request.
Comments, questions from the commission? Mr. President, I wasn't in any way suggesting that it was your responsibility to solve their problem. My concern and conveyance was that if they were in a position to solve their problem with the assistance and authorization from the board under their expenses and things like that, that might be a viable option. But I wouldn't in any way suggesting that it was...
I didn't mean to imply that that was the case. The Coves of Wilton Creek does not have authority over this particular issue. Our sister organization, Mariner's Point, does.
All right. Thank you, sir. Who's next? Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
State your name, please.
Name is William R. Gettle, G-O-E-T-T-L-E. I am a resident of Mariner's Point. In fact, my building, if I come out my front door, I would see where these moorings are going to be. I'm objecting, my wife and I, but she's not here today, that we think that this, and this has been said to you many times before, that it sets a bad precedence for the creek for future moorings. Wilton Creek is the known hurricane hole. We've used it ourselves during Isabel. We were one of the few boats that stayed in our slip, and we had to make some extraordinary measures to make sure we stayed there. The owner, petitioner, is not a full-time resident. We feel that until he does become a full-time resident, that if that mooring was put in and the boat was on there, he wouldn't be around to check it to see that it's properly set and it hasn't moved. And we also have coming into the creek at night. We do have people that come in at night and could be a hazard for there. I was living there when the docks were rebuilt. It's a little off thing, but maybe I can answer some of the questions that Mr. Burke was. We had an agreement with the Department of Public Health for the pump out station, and I cannot remember the man's name that we go through. But he told us that funds for this pump out station were provided under a federal grant managed by the state.
That's exactly right.
Okay. He said that that's where that has to be, that we would, if we moved anything, we'd be exceeding our footprint that was allowed.
Okay.
So that's why that pump out station was there. Now, I was also there when those docks, Isabel did not damage the docks. We felt that they were reaching their point of thing, and when we had the contractor come in and put in the new docks, I watched him. He lined those things up, and they were supposed to be 16 feet on center. As you know, they have. I lost 9 inches on my slip, but when he was driving a piling, and it would go in, if it would hit something, it moved. That's what happened to a lot of the slips. Some of them are a few inches more than what they were originally planned to be.
Right.
And that's it.
Okay.
The other one last thing, the Krogan that's in there right now that we're a little concerned about is only 42 feet. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Questions? Thank you, sir, very much. Who's next? Anyone else? Ms. Brubaker, you have a couple minutes to rebut with what was stated.
I do want to point out that at the present, we are not full-time homeowners down there. We will be next month. I am retiring. My husband is currently living and working in Cairo, Egypt. He is scheduled to be back in July. At that point, our boat is right now up on the Har getting a full refit, and when my husband comes back, it is our intent to shake it down and then go to the Bahamas in the winter. Our full intent is for the better part of 2 years to even not be at Mariner's Point, but for a week or two at a time. As far as precedence goes, I believe, like everyone else, they would have to apply for a permit to put more involved in. The view, obstructive view, anytime anybody comes into the, as it's been pointed out, that people come in all the time to anchor, there's an obstructive view. Whether it's our boat or anyone else's boat. There are sailboats that are larger that are in the slips, and as was pointed out, pontoon boats come and use the transient slip. When we purchased our slip, we knew that it was not full of 16 feet wide at the end. At the time, we had a Carver 44, and it would have fit in the slip, so that wasn't a problem. But we also knew that it was smaller at the end, and we were assured that if we went to the board, that they would probably more than not agree to move the piling so that it was as wide at the front as in the back.
Who told you that?
It was our neighbor, Floyd Dunstan, who is not here at the time, and he was not here now, but he is still a resident there and was a board member when we talked to him, as well as our realtor who lived at the Mariner's Point at the time. They were both board members and told us that it probably wouldn't be a problem.
Okay. For the question, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much width exactly do you require to accommodate your boat in that slip? If that piling was, if those pilings at the end were 16 feet apart, would that accommodate your boat?
I believe so, yes. It wouldn't be ideal, but our boat would fit.
Thank you.
And as a follow-up, your Carver's 44 that fits in there now?
Carver was 44.
Was 44 that fit in.
It was 13.9 beam.
The question I've got is the 49-foot vessel, and I think I know the answer. Those pilings to the front, they wouldn't have to be extended any further channel, were they? Would they to accommodate that, or would they?
No.
The balance of the...
We would not ask for that.
In other words, the way the cleats situation is on your boat now, you could back it, drop, and put a spring line on it, and it would be okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the concerns that have been raised by the protestants regarding the proposed mooring laws, and I think staff has this one really nailed with a good solution. I think obviously we can't compel the Homeowners Association to amend their application or submit an amended application, but I think staff's clearly indicated that such an application would be looked at favorably. The footprint and the encroachment of the pump out station has been cited as a problem. In the event that that were to be modified, the encroachment there is authorized by this commission. So, I think the permitting authority that's been discussed as a problem with that is probably somewhat misinformed. I think also the argument that a 49-foot boat in that slip would be an impediment to navigation is probably overstated. I think as close as that is to the shore, this boat would not be a significant impediment to navigation in that location. So it seems to me that staff has this right. I think given the concerns that have been raised by the protestants, the mooring buoys are not appropriate in the site. However, if it's just a matter of moving a piling 1 foot, it certainly seems to me that, I would hope that the association would take another look at that. And to that point, I think we could communicate the staff's recommendation in correspondence to the association. But I would offer a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion?
I just have a...
Mr. Schick and then Mr. Tankard.
I do have true concerns of non-riparian landholders putting in application for mooring buoys in general. An unorganized attack on our waterways with mooring buoys could present a problem as shoreline gets tighter and people get using the water even more. Growth is going to occur more and more, and I think it's good good practices to keep mooring buoys under control and to riparian right holder. Unfortunately, this situation should have never come up this way to us, in my opinion. But that's, again, I don't live there, so out of my jurisdiction.
Yeah, I understood. Mr. Tankard?
I guess, I have some reservations. It seems to me that, as Mr. Robbins mentioned, a slight deviation from the current course of the dock would solve the problem, and ignoring buoys would be unnecessary. I'd like to find a solution to problems like this, and unfortunately, I don't see one in our jurisdiction, to be honest with you.
Further comments? Well, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much for your presentation. Staff recommendations, 1 and 1 void.